So sorry to interrupt.
Here we go.
It's the first quarter of the big game. You want to toss up a Hail Mary.
They've done studies, you know. 60% of the time, it works every time.
If you're good at something, never do it for free.
I'd like to be pimps from Oakland or cowboys from Arizona, but it's not Halloween.
Look, my friend, this is just where you and I differ.
Grow up, Peter Pan, Count Chocula.
If my answers frighten you, Vincent, then you should cease asking scary questions.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up.
Well, and welcome to Sexy Jacks. I'm Tom Howe. Matt Byrne on the board. Jim Lawler in studio. We have Mr. Flanagan calling in a bit. We might have John Lee, our Asia expert, calling in as well. We'll see about that. He threatened to do that. We'll see if he will. If he does, we'll. S&P futures are actually down a little bit this morning after a huge run up on Friday after the Fed speech in Jackson Hole. We have S&P futures down 19. Nasdaq futures down 93. But we were up way more than that on Friday. So this is a this is the comeback. It's not much of a comeback. Dow was up 800. So Dow futures are only down 107. So there you go. Interesting stuff this weekend. We have our sports report here with Mr. Lawler going to take care of that. We have the Cubs sweeping out in Anaheim.
Yes, we do.
Mike Trout was, 0-for-9 with 6 strikeouts. I don't normally get to watch the guy, but he looks so hot this weekend. But we're talking about a guy playing at a place where nobody even knows where the hell, I mean, unless you're a baseball bluff. Now the Cubs are going to play in San Francisco. I never saw Ichiro play either. That was before they had interleague play, so you could see him now, I guess, because they do come here. But, boy, there's a lot of guys you didn't get to see in those days, eh? And in Chicago we always did because we had two teams. But
that is true.
I'd like to go your whole baseball career with season tickets and never see, like, Willie Mays or Clemente or anybody like that. I mean, just kind of, unless you saw him in the World Series, how would you even begin to see him? Just hear about him or what?
That, I guess that's true. You'd have to go back to the old newspapers, and the radio.
I still like listening to the radio more than I do the guys on TV. I mean, it's much way more descriptive. Plus, we've always had in Chicago a stream of radio announcers that were starting from Jack Quinlan to, God, who else did we have? We had, we've had Pat Hughes forever, and he's terrific. We had Vince Lloyd. We had, everybody along the chain was pretty good, I thought. Very descriptive. We always had pretty good color guys. I think this guy, Ryan Coomer, is really good, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And he's there every game. How come Jim Deshays, what does he get, half the year off or what? The TV guys don't...
That's up to the contract for the teams, Chief. So
I know, but it's... Usually people were there all the time. It's Boo Jambi's there half the time, it seems. I like the guy from the Triple-A team, don't you?
Yes, he's not bad. I don't see a lot of Triple-A games. You know, I mean, I know you get them on.
No, but I'm talking about I'm talking about he comes up and when Boog's got 4 days off, he comes up and does the Cubs.
Oh, yeah, the substitute guy, yeah.
But he's really good. Plus, he saw all these guys in Iowa, so he knows them probably better than anybody up here.
I mean, that is true.
But plus he talked what's her name? Who's the lady who does the on the field stuff?
I don't know
She's been there a while. They got Elisa Manicker who does the after game and then she fills in and whoever the other lady is. But when he talked her into the when she admitted the girl math, I thought that was funny as hell. Evidently she goes to Denver to get her hair done. Oh, she must have a bunch of miles and stuff. So he starts quizzing her about how much it costs.
Uh-oh.
She goes, well, I went to college with a girl so I get a discount. And he says, well, he goes, does that cover the whole thing? She goes, hey, look, it's girl math. Get over it, will you? I thought that was hilarious.
It was. Well, on the other note, I mean, we did see Tommy Fleetwood finally win.
Yeah.
And that was a big payday. That was like $10 million.
Yep.
So
you had all the good guys chasing him, too.
Yeah, he did. I did witness Scotty Scheffler hitting it in the water. And anybody, I would not have thought he would have been the one who put it in the water.
Well, do you see that hole?
It's a nasty one.
It's not only an island green, but all sides slope off into the water.
That is true.
So even if you hit next to it, you don't think you're just going to stick on the grass. It doesn't. I'll bet when, you know, for the rest of the year, they grow that grass long enough to where it'll catch the ball.
I would say so, but there were a couple of guys that it stuck barely.
Yeah, barely. They were very lucky that it did.
But, you know, it was a good weekend for the Cubs and the Sox. It
showed those guys how to play some very unusual shots because there were some sand traps with high walls. And then there were other spots where one guy putted the thing up a hill from about 20 yards off, and he put it in 5 feet of the hole.
Yeah, there it was. It was, I think that was the 14th or 15th.
Yeah.
It had a heel on the back of the green, but it was in the first cut, so the ball would roll. It was a nasty, you know, as they say, they made the course a little tougher for the pros.
Oh, God. I always found when I played, the hardest shots for me, not being a pro, is having to use a high-lofted club when the grass is like a quarter inch high.
Ooh.
You know, which is, I just could never, those guys could do that. I sure couldn't. So if you were Tommy Fleetwood, what do you figure that guy is? 5'10"? At most, 5'9"?
Yeah. Caddy is huge.
I say, would you pick a caddy that's like 6'8"?
Well, they're buddies. They from the same town in London. I guess this guy has been on his bag since 2016.
God, it looks like Mutt and Jeff.
And it was a year ago he was not on the bag because he was in having open heart surgery.
Really?
Yes.
Well, he's back. Good for him. I mean, it was. But everybody was there. It was really fun to watch. But then I kind of cut off for the Cubs. But so where do we have the standings? We have the Cubs solidly. I'll look them up. Or you can look them up.
The Cubs are, I believe, 5 games back now.
They are, but they're well ahead in the wild card, I think.
Let's find out.
And the Yankees are in, but they're clearly a wild card. So is what's Trump going to do if the if Toronto wins or is in the World Series? Are you going to let him here?
That's a good question.
Blue Jays are 5 games ahead of the Red Sox, who are now ahead of the Yankees. I saw the Yankees play last week. They made two of the most egregious errors. They're not playing well, but they still have, you know, the great offense with those couple of guys. Tigers have the best record in the American League by a bit.
Milwaukee still has the best record in baseball.
Yep.
And if you take the Cubs, they would be...
You take them.
Okay. If I took the Cubs, they would be leading. If you took Milwaukee out, they are tied for first... with the second best record.
Well, right now it looks like in the American League, it's the Astros, Tigers and Blue Jays, with the wild cards being the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Mariners, all with kind of the same record.
That's what I see.
And in the National League, you got the Phillies, 7 games ahead of the Mets. You got the Brewers, five games ahead of the Sox. And you got the Dodgers and the Padres tied. So, say it's the Dodgers, the Brewers, and the Phillies, you'd end up having the Cubs by far with the number one seed of the wild card. Then you would have the Padres and the Mets. The Mets. That would be your three wild cards, right?
That is correct.
And some guys are, you know, some guys are pretty much out of it. I don't see... Who do you see even remotely? I don't see anybody challenging. It's almost like it's all set.
Well, you never know.
Well, I mean,
we do have a whole another month left.
Well, the Reds are.
The Reds are pretty.
They're 5 games behind in the wild card race.
They're five.
Diamondbacks
games.
Are like 8.
Well, I don't. You know, the Diamondbacks, I don't think have much of a chance. I do think the Reds, 5 games. Can change a lot, and there's a lot more baseball to play.
Well, but I mean, there isn't any, when you in the National League. If you look at the current three wild card winners, None of the other teams are close. The Marlins are 61 wins. The Reds are 68. And I thought the Diamondbacks were there, but they're the Giants. They're not. Plus the Giants lost three. Yeah, they're not. They're both under 500.
Mm-hmm. The other question I have, speaking of letting him in, supposedly there is a friendly in Oakland, and it's Mexico versus, like, Austria for the World Cup. Now, Mexico is one of our enemies, as we know.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to be the other thing. The World Cup is coming up in 2028, or next year. And what is Trump going to do? It's supposed to be held in both Canada here and Mexico. Oops.
They're enemies. Well, that's just the way that... I listened to some people this weekend. Plus, the idea that some of the people in... Everybody's got their deal. When you're on CNBC, you want to tell everybody how good everything is so you can have them ship you money. And if you would never... If you knew the world... Because nobody knows this. And plus, I sure as hell hope it doesn't happen. But if you knew the world was going to... around 50% tomorrow, you would never tell somebody, what you need to do is call me up and say, send you a check. They're never going to do that. But they keep saying there's, like, no inflation. So, and I got people working on my place. We're redoing a lot of the back porch, which is four stories. And so I just needed some fasteners and some screws. So I go to Home Depot, get these little tiny straps where you put, it's a metal thing that goes on both sides of the 2x4, and you join them together. They should be like 50 cents, right? But they're not. They're a buck. Online, they're 75 cents, but if you have them shipped, they're more than a buck. So you're kind of lost in that mess. So I buy 25 of those, which you can put in one hand, two boxes of tiny screws, one box of nails, and a couple of Phillips head things for the screws, $86. I'm going to say, Jimmy, 5 years ago, that would have been 40.
Maybe
35.
But, you know.
So I'm listening on News Radio 78, riding around doing my stuff on Sunday morning. And the guy's talking about the jewelry industry. And, of course, we have people on the show. We'll give you the long story about how the tariffs aren't going to do this or that. Well, evidently, virtually all jewelry is imported, mostly from Thailand. And then I think Thailand's got some big tariff that just got dumped on them. I don't know what the number is.
Of course, they're an enemy.
And an enemy, too. So the guy was saying, well, in the jewelry industry, there's nowhere to go. There's no competition here. So it's just going to be the full whatever it was. I thought he said 25 or 50%. It's the full 25 or 50%. And and he goes, there's 50,000 people in Thailand that are in the jewelry industry. And it's pretty skilled. He goes, we don't have anybody here that does that. He goes, by the way, the people there don't want to move here. And by the way, if they did, we wouldn't let them in. So get ready to pay more for jewelry.
Well, it's like the latest one now. He's going after, he's trying to use the FCC to go after both ABC and NBC now.
Oh, yeah.
Which is funny because the two networks that are pro-him have both been fined for violations of fraud on the election. They both have had big fines. Newsmax just had to pay a $55 million fine to Dominion because they said that their machines were. Yet, those are not the ones you go after.
Oh, no, no.
You go after it. Also, he now proclaims Roger Clemens should be in the Hall of Fame. Why? They played golf yesterday. He's a great guy.
Oh, yeah. This, well, whatever. I mean, it's not gonna stop. It's only gonna get worse, and it is stunning to me the both sides. And I'm accused of not really being in the middle, but I'll tell you what, I don't see either side's vision of the world. I really don't. Jay Pritzker this weekend had this big thing about, and you know, I'm not any individual stuff that somebody does. I mean, I can see the reason for it and whatever. And I'm not, but. This weekend it was some deal about anybody who's in a Illinois college gets free birth control pills free doctor's appointments, and free what, morning after pills, abortion pills, whatever the hell you want to call them. Now, I don't. It's not up to me, but if he was on the show, I would ask him, what exactly is your vision of what the world is? And I don't really give a crap if they give out free birth control pills. For God's sake, they give free rubbers at the Olympics. But the question is, what is behind all this? I mean, we have people that are 19, 20, 21 years old. Shouldn't they know that if you have, like, unprotected sex, you might end up with a baby, and it's kind of a lifetime responsibility? I mean, what are we expecting our 18-year-olds to know? Birth control pills, I don't think they're on patent. They were cheap 50 years ago. I don't know, you know. So we can't expect somebody who's 19 years old that's planning on having a good time to not understand the repercussions and plan. Is that what we're saying, that they're not capable of doing this without? I mean, what are we really saying here? I mean, I don't know what the message is. I really don't.
Well, I don't know. I just go back to, you know, history itself. You know, and I understand, you know, the old argument, people live longer now. That's great. But then
Actually, we're going backwards the last 2 years, but go ahead.
Okay, but in the 1700s, when people got married at 16 and 15, don't you think it's just oddly throughout human history that boys and girls can get girls can get pregnant at 13 or 12? And
That's something kind of new, I think, but...
They used to have brides. People got married very young, but
when you live to 35, you better get married young.
Our physiology hasn't changed all that much.
Well, that's the truth.
It hasn't changed all that much. I don't know. Maybe they think AI will raise the kid. I have no idea.
Well, I don't understand the mechanism of this whole thing. I mean, you look at. The Democrats can't wait to get rid of fossil fuels, right? Especially in states that seem to have an awful lot of... At the same time, we're putting in electric cars. So the logic here, and I know my upbringing, has being in a manufacturing industry like I was with Pullman, everything you do, it's all about making it happen. We'll build a railroad car in a week and a half. All right, how exactly are you going to do that? We can't even order the stuff in a week and a half. Oops. Well, okay, now we've got Democrats can't wait to get rid of the coal-fired plants. And, you know, coal-fired plants are a little dirty, although the one in Indiana is not, the new one. And I think I'm going to close that one, too. But it's water-scrubbed, and I could go into the engineering of it. But they want to close the coal-fired plants. They want to get rid of the fossil fuel plants. So they do, without any regard, it appears, to what the electrical demand is going to be in a few years. It's all going to be renewables. Well, now Trump can't wait to get rid of the renewables. Now, he cut back on a bunch of stuff for windmills to where some company that makes windmills is getting its ass kicked this morning. Okay, well, if we're not going to have fossil fuels, and by the way, we're not going to have renewables, where exactly does that leave us? I mean, he signed an executive order for nuclear. Are we talking 10 years at best? I mean, does any of these people have a brain cell working as to how this stuff actually works out? I'm talking about both sides.
I mean, that is an excellent question. I don't know. I mean, he doesn't think that he thinks that wind is a fraud. He thinks that's just fraud. Windmills, that's just the biggest fraud being done.
Well, to the extent that they're being poured into with government money. In his mind, that's a fraud.
Correct.
But you had, when nuclear stuff was built 35 years ago, they allegedly had life expectancy of 20 years. Well, now it's been 35 or 40, and guess what? They're still going. And now they're the cheapest, I think they're the cheapest there is around. So sometimes, you know, money in advance, you know, over a period of time, especially when you inflate the hell out of the place, becomes actually a pretty good investment. So I don't know that I don't know the maintenance of windmills. I don't know the maintenance of solar. It doesn't look like it's that much.
Well, the windmills, I do know some. I mean, having been out in California several times over the past few years. I mean, you go through on the way to Palm Springs.
You go through that huge area.
Those things do need a lot of maintenance because there's dust, and it gets into the gears and stuff like that. So I
wouldn't want to be that guy running up those things.
No, sir, I would not. I agree with you on that wholeheartedly.
Well, SP Futures down 14. NASDAQ Futures down 72. Could be back. Should have Mr. John Flanagan. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. I think most of you know that I am also the Chief Investment Officer at PTI Securities and Futures. There we invest for and help a wide variety of clients, and you know what? No two are the same. Some have legacy stocks, some concentration issues, some may be embedded tax issues. The others might need or want some portfolio protection. There could be estate issues or maybe new family members. The point is that we are all unique and the portfolios should match. However, the last several years have seen a relatively one-way market. It seemed that all we needed was to be all in. No protection, no fixed income, just be all in, no matter who you are, what your risk profile or age. Most management firms love that. Take this and like it, no matter who you are. Be careful with that. You are not everybody. I think most see the market view going forward as maybe different than the one looking back, so your portfolio should reflect that. Maybe it's just as simple as your life station has changed. Towards that end, we are accepting some new clients needing a more personal approach and are interested in negotiating the future and not with a portfolio designed for the past. Find me at 312-663-4310. That's 312-663-4310.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
You think you have a constitutional right to conceal a weapon without a carry permit?
I have a right to keep a gun at home. The court says so.
You were on the street.
A man's home is where his heart is. In my case, the penis.
Do you have any idea how many people die from gun violence in this country?
Yeah. Let's make a law. No carrying guns. I'm sure the criminals will obey it.
Show me where in the Constitution it says you can walk the streets armed without a carry permit.
The Constitution says whatever the Supreme Court says it says. As for what the Supreme Court says, that all depends on who's president.
Move the strike.
You don't have to be a legal genius to know that if you've got a president in office who likes guns, and a vice president who likes to hunt lawyers and quail, and a Supreme Court justice who hunts with him, you're going to have a constitutional right to shoot bad guys in the knee.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. Matt Byrne on the board. Denny Crane. So you're saying that John Flanagan reminds you of Denny Crane?
I'm not saying anything. I'm letting the clip speak for me.
Huh? Oh, yeah. There's a connection there. Yeah. I could see John Flanagan and Denny Crane. SP Futures down 15. NASDAQ Futures down 77. This is after a huge rally on Friday. How huge was it? Mm. Dow was up 846. S&P up 96. NASDAQ up 396. So it was pretty huge. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX down 47, which is a little bit surprising, but they were up Friday. FTSE up 12.1%, CAC around down 47.6%. We're in Asia, Nikkei's up 174.4%, Hang Seng's up 492%, Shanghai up 57.5% as they continue to try and pour money into their system and pump themselves up, as Arnold would say. 10-year up 2 basis points, 4.27, Bund up 5 basis points, 2.77, Japan up 1, a basis point, 1.63, which has got to be as high as they've been in like decades. Oil up 51 cents, 64.17, but still right in his low to mid 60s. Brent up 47 cents, 68.20. Natural gas down 6 cents, 263. That is low. We've had, it was $4 not that long ago. We've got gold down 660, but still over 3,400, 3,411, big rally on Friday. Silver down 37 cents, but 3,867. It's a full 1%, but that was up a bunch on Friday too as well. Copper up a penny, 447. Foreign exchange, the euro's at 116.9, and we've got the British pound at 135, so kind of right where it's been. Crypto, which has been kind of getting its ass kicked, down 2,100, 111 today. It's down from over 120. Was that, Matt, two Mondays ago, maybe, or something like that in there?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
Yeah, good morning, everyone. It's currently 6:35 a.m. on August 25th, 2025. Let's look at traffic real quick. Inbound on the Kennedy from O'Hare to Jane Brennan Interchange at 27 minutes, outbound at 16. Inbound on the Eisenhower from Thorndale to JB at 33 minutes, outbound at 26. Weather in Chicago, 55 degrees at O'Hare, 57 at Midway. Pretty chilly this morning. Considerably, I don't know if you felt that, Chief.
It was chilly. Saturday night, we were out in at a garden party late, and had to reach for the sweatshirt.
Yeah, yikes. It was. I've got the hoodie today, too. It was just, you know, a little too chilly for me. But a high of around 71 today, mostly sunny skies. Tonight, clear skies and a low of 54, so watch out on your garden and whatnot. Down in Phoenix, Arizona, 92 degrees right now. Warm with a passing shower this morning. Temperatures set to reach 104 degrees. Quickly over to sports. MLB yesterday, White Sox home with the Twins. Sox won 8-2. Cubs away in Los Angeles with the Angels. Cubs won by a narrow 4-3. Sox currently bottom of the American League Central with only 47 wins this season. Cubs in second for the National League Central, 76 wins this year. That's all I got, Chief. Back to you.
We have Mr. Flanagan?
We do indeed, yeah.
Good morning.
So, Matt, give me the connection between Denny Crane and Jan Flanagan.
I don't know. I do like that clip, and I thought it would spice things up.
It's a spectacular clip.
Get a conversation going, you know?
You know, if the president and the vice president go out and shoot guns and shoot the lawyer. What was the name of the guy he shot?
Bush or Cheney?
He shot somebody.
I think he shot Scalia.
He shot a hunting buddy of his who happened to be a lawyer, and as he said, he peppered him up.
Yeah, and
Harry Whittington.
Yeah, oh yeah, so that's right.
Yes. Yeah,
where was that? Is that place where? Where did Scalia croak, John? He was somewhere out in.
Well, it was way out in like Marfa, Texas territory, way out there.
That was
Cibolo Creek in Texas.
Yeah, well, he went out there and he had some issues. He went out there and he allegedly had a heart attack, and they came to get him in this ambulance. Well, the ambulance was what, like a 79 Cadillac or something? That was the ambulance?
Yeah. They phoned in the coroner's report.
I don't
think they ever seen the body. Raises more questions than it answers.
That's for sure. I was reading some stuff on Quora this week, and I sure hope this doesn't go the other way, but the Russian-Zelensky meeting has been canceled, and evidently up in Alaska, somebody wrote in about how come they didn't stay in a hotel, and the guy said, what do you mean a hotel? Trump wanted to have lunch afterward where he's going to tell the whole world what a great job he did. Putin told him to pound sand. He got on his plane and left. I don't know if that's true or not, but I mean, this Putin's kind of an odd character. I don't know how you deal with that guy, but I think you need almost a Harry Truman to realize that the guy is not, he's just evil all the way through. Roosevelt never actually thought that of Stalin. He thought that somehow he could get through to him, but I don't think anybody gets through him. And Truman was under no idea that you could, right, Jen?
Well, initially, I think he was, overly optimistic he met Stalin for the first time at Potsdam, I think, just months after he'd become president. And he was trying to, put the best face on it and trying to be, pleasant as he could and giving Stalin the benefit of the doubt. But I think he was disabused of that pretty fast. Roosevelt was a lot more pliable. I think he was kind of suckered in by Stalin. Plus, he was pretty wiped out physically by the time he was at Yalta. And, you can see photographs of him. He looks by far the feeblest of everybody on the stage. So.
Well, he was up to What was his blood pressure? 210 over 150 or something?
Oh, yeah. He was a mess. And, he was 62 or 63? He doesn't seem old by our standards today, but he looks ancient.
Well, whatever disease he had, it was some strain of polio, right? It wasn't...
They say it's Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is a neurological thing that is much closer to what his symptoms were than infantile paralysis or polio. So I think it was a misdiagnosis. In that case, they didn't know anything about Guillain-Barré syndrome, at least not as much as they thought they knew about polio. And that was the more convenient diagnosis. And it resonated with people because there were people getting sick and with polio symptoms. Roosevelt became kind of the poster child, when he was middle-aged, and it became kind of with the March of Dimes and Warm Springs Resort, all these things, that became the disease that, drove the vaccine surge into the 50s, but it probably wasn't polio at all.
Well, it had to be something like that, John, because the onset was so... for those that don't know, it was later onset. I mean, but he was in the Navy, and was a...
He didn't serve in the Navy. He was just a secretary of the Navy.
He served in the Navy.
No, he never served in the military, Tom.
I remember in the Winds of War...
In the popular imagination, because his family was so... closely associated with the Navy, going back a couple generations. I think he wanted people to think he did, but he never served.
Well, he was
never in uniform.
He was doing something because in the Winds of War, Pug Henry was spraying himself off with a hose after running around the ship and spraying the hell out of Roosevelt. He either was there as an attaché or he was something.
It's in a civilian role.
All right.
The presidents of wartime never served. Wilson, another example. Lincoln, I think, served during the Black Hawk War, in the militia or whatever. But really, our biggest wars were conducted by commanders in chief with no military experience. So, Truman did serve in World War I, a distinguished career.
He was Assistant Secretary of the Navy for a while, so that's probably why he was hanging around some ship.
Oh, yeah, and then I think ultimately Secretary of the Navy, at the end of World War I.
Yeah, he planned the successful war against Spain. There you go. That was Teddy Roosevelt, frankly.
Yeah, he was in the Secretary of the Navy.
They were related.
Oh, distant. I don't think they ever met. They were distant cousins, I think. Yeah.
But I think Franklin and Eleanor were fifth cousins, and Eleanor was Teddy's niece. So it would make him what? Teddy was fifth cousin once removed to FDR, I guess.
But what I'm saying is he was very vibrant as a young man. I mean, he was real, real strong, a real good athlete, big horseman, all that kind of stuff. As a matter of fact, when he caught whatever this disease was, wasn't he like at Nantucket or someplace? He swam from one island to the other.
Campobello.
Yeah, and when he got out of the water, he felt like he had a chill on Friday, and on Sunday he was paralyzed.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever it was, hit him awful quick. But he was in his 30s, right?
He was about to turn 40. Yeah, but I think 1921 is when he had the episode. Campobello, so he would have been 40 in 1922, so yeah, 39.
Really, that's way, and it probably was some offshoot of polo, and that probably wasn't the same thing that the kids get or got, right?
Yeah, well, remember, you can remember, Tom, the strictures against, bathing in Lake Michigan, polo, that really kind of...
Well, I remember my grandparents telling me that you didn't... In a beach, if there was an outbreak, nobody took their kids to the beach. Parents were absolutely terrified. I mean, you're talking iron lung for the rest of your life, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I mean, anyway, it was a interesting thing. But the guy ended up with the world's strongest upper body, because he could give an hour speech where he was holding himself up only by his hands. His legs probably took, 20% because he had the braces and stuff. But it wasn't like somebody standing or giving a speech.
No, he really couldn't stand, I don't think, unsupported. So you always see him with one of the sons on one side of him, at least. And he's holding onto the son's arm. And he, you know, like you can see him at the back of railroad platforms delivering speeches, but he's clinging to the rail of the rail car, or he's being supported on the side. I don't think he was able to stand unassisted without the crutches.
No, I mean, when he gave a speech, I'm saying there would be the equivalent of like a walker, where he could he put his hands on the sides and stand there for like an hour, which is, I don't think he won arm wrestle a dude.
No, and I mean, he was tough. You know, he lasted as long as he did, really, with a condition like that. Because I don't think, you know, I'd have to research, but I don't think the life expectancy for people with either polio or Guillain-Barré, whatever he had, it was, you know, not usual to live to his age and have, you know, the weight of the world on his shoulders at the same time.
So. Well, I mean, the pressure was, but you look at the difference in some of those guys. I mean, I read a few books on them. Plus, I thought the Winds of War were pretty interesting. How they had constant attempts to find information from people other than the guys that surrounded him, as opposed to people lately that seemed like a whole bunch of yes men around him from both parties. And he wanted information from other places, so people would go and he would have like 20 minute interviews with like 30 people a day from every industry, and just his mind was just an absolute sponge. And whenever if it wasn't for him, I mean, he was a singular push behind the atomic bomb. Now, whether that was good or bad, I don't know. But and I don't think most people recognize that. Because when Fermi came over here and tried to go through the Navy, what was his response? He went to see an admiral. And he's a guy's a Nobel Prize winner at this point. Went to see an admiral, and the admiral says, "Who's waiting to get, you know, some wops out here in the office for him?" is what his captain told him. They wanted no part of it. And Eleanor Roosevelt found out about it from one of her friends and got Enrico Fermi on the docket to see Roosevelt. And he heard about the stuff and he goes, "What the hell? What's the matter with my military?" And he's the one who pushed it. I mean, because he was, for a guy who couldn't move, he was all over the place, always wanting to learn more and more and more. Well, I can't think of when's the last president we had who was like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even think of one. Clinton, maybe. But even that's probably a stretch. Anyway, that's kind of where that all is. John, what'd you make of Powell's speech on Friday?
Well,
yeah.
You know, as Powell speaks, so goes the market. You know, the market liked it, but whatever the rate drop is. And I suspect it might be bigger than people might be, you know, supposing at this point, just to get a maximum impact. But I don't think it's going to fix anything, and it'll probably just, you know, ultimately make things worse, I'm afraid. It's not going to help the real estate market, I don't see at all. There's got to be other things that happen first before that can have any kind of an impact. So it's not going to free up, you know, lots of down payments for houses that people still can't afford, even with 0% interest rates. So,
again, we can have debates. I'm sure we will, people on the show, regarding what he said and what was heard. And what he said was there might be a chance with the labor doing this, blah blah blah, that we could have a change in direction. But we're still going to, you know, be mindful, blah, blah, blah. If you read the text, you have one view of this. If you listen to the man, it was a total capitulation to whatever our president wants to do. And you know what? The guy doesn't know anything about monetary policy. All he does is care about what takes care of him. And if we're going to choose between... Let's just say we're in a stagflation thing here now, because I think we are. We can do one of two ways. We can do the Volcker way and keep the money supply tight, which these guys don't even talk about that, so that's not going to happen, and get rid of the inflation piece. Or we can go the other way, and we can keep pouring money in to blow the numbers up to make it look like somebody's doing a good job. And oh, by the way, the inflation murders people, but the stock market stays up, and so does the only wrinkle there is if you end up with long-term rates going to the moon. Long-term rates were down Friday, which kind of surprised me. But if they go way up, then I don't care how much mouth you get out of the Oval Office, who's ever there, you can't stop it. Because once you, but you know, we'll see what happens. But we were so hung up by this, by the CPI rates being artificially low, the PCE rates being artificially low, that it always looks like you can tell people, and I'm saying both presidents, you can tell people how good of a job you're doing when in fact they are not being benefited. And somehow we got a group of people that believe that, John, and you know what? It's not up to me to tell them not to. They got to believe what they want to believe, right?
Yep.
I mean, to me, it's a total capitulation. I mean, it seems to me, and I know that people think he maybe should or whatever, Trump wants to run everything. And he's no Roosevelt in terms of how smart he is. I mean, he wants to run the Fed. He wants to run the legal system in Brazil. We're going to tear off a country because they're prosecuting a guy he likes. I mean, this is insane. He played golf with, what's his name on Saturday?
Roger Clemens.
Roger Clemens, and the first thing he says is he ought to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, is there anything that the man doesn't have an opinion on that he knows nothing about?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
you know, to give Roger Clemens thing, he did not have any drugs in his system. Okay, he admitted using steroids, but no drugs.
Well, what are steroids?
To the president, they're not drugs.
Ah. John, where do you stand on all that? I'll give you one story. And I was one of the last few times I golfed was a while ago. And I hadn't played in a while, so we're playing 18 holes, and actually walking is easier, but hopping in and out of the cart if you got some back issues is not the best. So plus we're out there for like 5 hours of outing. And a couple of guys I'm playing with, they go, "You're walking a little stiff." I go, "Yeah, well, we've been out here for like 5 hours. Well, why didn't you take a couple of, what do you take for that stuff? Ibuprofen or something?
Yeah.
Why didn't you take a bunch of those?" I said, "Well, the day comes I have to take a drug to play golf, I'm not going to play golf," which, so, I mean, it's at some level, I guess aspirin's okay, I guess something's okay. Steroids, if you're a football player and the idiots make you play on Thursday after playing on Sunday, what I understand, if you want to, you know, recharge your system, steroids work wonders, not just in making you bigger and stronger, but also in repairs, right? And they give that to people that are sick in a lot of ways. I mean, hell, a lot of people I know would never pass a test because they use some topical steroid for like skin problems or something. I mean, where is the line here drawn? I guess is the if somebody's too sore to work out and he takes 3 ibuprofen and he works out, I don't know. Who gets to say where it is? I'm not for people shooting steroids into themselves. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not sure where the line is, and I really don't. And what kind of steroids you can use, which if they're prescribed by a doctor, if they're not. I mean, kind of a mess in this whole thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's so caught up in, you know, excellence in particular sports. I mean, look at Lance Armstrong. It's kind of an obvious example. I guess it's pretty easy to say that was over the,
why?
Know, the limit. But when you start looking at...
Well, that was his own blood.
Yeah. Well, you know, the maintenance of, you know, your health, which, you know, means, you know, to reduce pain or increase mobility or whatever else, it's gotten pretty muddied in professional sports, you know, amateur sports too, but professional sports is where, you know, people, you know, get nervous about it. And performance enhancement, you know, becomes, you know, the threshold, and, you know, putting other people at a disadvantage that, you know, you can attribute solely to some drug therapy. So, does that mean that you can't take any kind of, you know, anti-inflammatories? Because, you know, that's giving you an enhancement, you know, or is it just giving you, you know, your normal, you know, physical mobility when you're under a threat, some illness or whatever? I don't know there's no easy way of parsing this out, but clearly it's changed sports, you know, forever. And, you know, as sports medicine has become a field unto itself, it kind of has escaped scrutiny for, you know, many of those years, too. I don't know if anybody wants to get involved in parsing this out and being held to it, because there's you know, always developments in you know, prescription drugs and everything else. And, you know, the side effects of this are not often well understood until long after people discover, gee, there's a disadvantage here. If this sports player is getting this thing, and we didn't know it did this, but it does do that, and now these poor schlubs who aren't taking it can't win.
Well, looking at the guys on the Raiders that were Mr. Steroids, Elzado, and who's the big master guy, Matusik, and
yeah,
they're all dead.
Yeah,
I mean the thing came to a head when a bunch of irate mothers, which, you know, fine because they actually give a crap about their kids, maybe, went to Congress and said, "I don't want my kid having to take steroids in high school just to compete against somebody else who is." You know, I will mention from private conversation years and years ago, somebody who everybody would know the name, he's still big in Chicago sports, played for a school we might be familiar with, John, said, "Of course I took steroids in college. I was playing 4 or 5 games a year against Big Ten guys that were all doing the same thing. How the hell am I going to play at 220 when they're 270? I mean, it became a competitive thing, right?
Yeah.
Talk about a guy who's strong as an ax and really good. Because you just, I mean, they're doing that, and how am I going to hang in there? And our buddy Dr. J, John Nigerian, John was his dad was a doctor. He and Pete never did the stuff. Although Pete will tell you that, and when he was on one of those, what was the league, Jimmy? USFL, and you had a pee in a cup, right? But you brought your own pee in, you know, which is like okay. 5 guys used to meet at the Waffle House, and Pete would drink a bunch of coffee, and he'd pee for all 5 guys. Okay then, it becomes a thing. You know, what's the limit? What isn't the limit? You know, what about kids? What about everything? What if people are dying from it? I don't know. If the fact that you can now go faster and you're stronger, does that cause more brain injuries down the road? Probably. I mean, it's all kind of ties together, right? I mean, it's
yeah.
But how many people? One of my clients who's in like the nursing home industry knows an awful lot about drugs. Told me 10 years ago that all these quarterbacks were heading over in the off season to Europe to get stem cell treatment in their shoulders. He goes, "How do you think a guy's still playing quarterback when he's 40 years old? When all you do is throw 1,000 times a day. I mean, come on." So is that okay or not? Probably. It's your own stuff, right? I mean, the biker you're talking about, what do they do? You pull out your blood, you'd use a, what do you call those
things? You reoxygenate it.
Well, you'd spin it around,
yeah,
and you have a higher red blood cell count, which is where the oxygen hangs, and you'd re-inject it back into yourself, right?
Yeah.
Blood doping. Or what they used to do before you did that, you guys should know this, how did you blood dope before you did that? Got you to the same place. An athlete like you, Jan?
I don't know.
You go train in Denver or higher.
Oh, altitude training.
You do altitude training. And when you came back down, you had more red blood cells than anybody else. And you know, you had a higher concentration, so if you were a distance cyclist, it would have helped you a lot. Got you to the same place, right?
Yeah, well, you can categorize a lot of these, you know, therapies as, you know, training, working out, and at, you know, at a certain level, they are that. You know, it's just a renewal routine. It could be an exercise routine. It could be something more than that. Does anybody really know where the cutoff is, though? I don't think so. I mean, not that you can legislate it for any particular sport. I don't think you get any group of people to agree on what is excessive or what's, you know, tipping a balance too far. So I don't know. You know, the idea that this has to be controlled is of course, you know.
Well, I think it is. I mean, I honestly don't care, I suppose, if somebody 40 years old heads to Europe for stem cell treatment or maybe pops a roid in every now and then, but I surely don't want it to where if you're my kid is playing high school football that he has to be on a huge steroid regimen just to play.
Well, didn't this all come out of the Olympics in the 60s when the Russian athletes started shattering all the weight records?
Actually, it was East Germans that were the best at it.
Germans were the best at getting away with it, but like the Soviet weightlifters were shattering records.
Oh, yeah.
Shattering records, and that's when they figured out the East Germans were really good with the steroids and the doping of the blood, because all of a sudden they did nothing, and then in the 1970s they're breaking world records in the pool like no one, like it's nothing.
Right.
And then they were
pushing the gender boundaries too. I mean, a lot of
exactly hormone therapy. They were.
Well, when we used to work out a lot, when Jan and I go to the gym 3-4 days a week, and we had our guys, what are you doing today? Pecs, glutes, whatever. But those guys are really into it, and I was never, I got big long arms, so I was never that big on the bench. But I'm doing over my weight, which is pretty good. And Jan goes, you'd be a perfect candidate. If you started taking some roids, you'd go from 235 or whatever to 275 in like 5 days. That's why people get on it all of a sudden. If you really hit the Diana ball and the really good stuff, it happens so fast that all of a sudden some guy in football getting his ass kicked 1 week and the next week he's kicking ass. I mean, it really come at you pretty quick. But you know, it was actually it's a great story, because when I look at her in my mind, she was smoking hot. Was the lady who had the 3-year suspension? Was it Sharapova? Is that her name? The tall blonde girl in tennis.
Yeah, I think it is Sharapova. Yeah.
I mean, she's drop dead gorgeous and a great tennis player. And she's from, was she from Latvia or someplace? Lithuania? Somewhere up there. And they caught her taking some Russian drug that you give to older people that have heart problems. From what I gathered, Jenna and Jimmy, it was roughly the same as nitroglycerin. And if somebody doesn't know what that is, if back in the day before they had stent surgery and things, if somebody started to feel that they couldn't breathe, nitroglycerin immediately opens up all your heart valves temporarily, or your veins and arteries, right, temporarily, and then, you know, it's obviously temporary. I mean, if you were to take, if you're fourth and one on the 1 yard line, and all your offensive linemen took a big snort of this stuff, I have a feeling they'd knock the defensive line out to bend the back of the end zone. Well, you don't want that happening. But the interesting part is, she was the same era as Serena Williams, right?
Yes.
And
Serena.
Serena, and Serena was, one, but for a 3 or 4 year period. Now this is given to old people, and she was on that stuff since she was like 11 or 12, wasn't she, Jan?
Yeah.
But for the whole time she played, I don't think she was ever as good or powerful as Serena, but she won more matches that went the whole way. Would ladies play three sets? Guys play five? Is that the way that works?
Yes.
I think that she won more matches that went the full three. Now, if she played Serena, she probably got her ass kicked in two, but she won more than went the full three than anybody else in tennis, which probably leads anybody to believe that this drug was pretty effective. And when she came back, when she couldn't use it anymore, she pretty much disappeared, didn't she?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was effective. This stuff is effective. I mean, anyway, just saying. But it gets so hard to make these kinds of rules, and who should be in the Hall of Fame, who shouldn't. Is it... But if you have rules that you're not supposed to do it and somebody does it, well, that's a problem, because then other people feel that they have to do it, right?
Right.
So...
Well, there's some subtle, variations, too. I mean, if you happen to have a good surgeon for, whatever muscle or joint you blew out, and, you have a career, maybe even a successful career after that surgery, but if somebody else didn't have quite as talented a surgeon and their career is ruined after that, is that performance enhancement?
Well, I mean, it all helps, right?
What you can pay for, where you can travel to, something else. I mean, but I don't. It's not maybe something that everybody can expect to enjoy or to pay equally for.
So. Well, I wonder if any of the listeners remember the movie The Chariots of Fire.
Oh yeah,
that guy just died, right? When I say just a few.
The composer of the film score, yeah.
Yep. No, the guy who was the runner.
Oh,
he ended up being ahead of the U.S. or the World Olympic movement for like 40 or 50 years. But in those days, I think if you it was supposed to be all amateur, right? But if you actually went out and hired a personal trainer, that was considered professional.
Yeah.
So they were all against this guy because he actually went and hired a trainer. Where the guy say, I'll get you that step that you need to win the 100-yard dash, right?
Correct.
And he trained, and everybody said, you're not supposed to do that. Amateurs are just supposed to be, just all supposed to be natural. You're supposed to go out there and, not that you don't work out, but you're supposed to, you know.
Well, look at the Olympics now. I mean, the coach, you know, or whatever you want to call the person, is right up there with the participant, him or herself. You know, they're almost enjoying equal status.
Yeah.
And they're the key to the success of these athletes now, so.
Well, maybe the same.
That's how it's evolved. How could you expect to compete if you didn't have a trainer or somebody who sort of supervised your entire life from age 9 onward?
Well, that's true. I wonder if some of that now is when they used to let people play 3 different sports. I'm not so sure that that wasn't better, but
yeah,
than the absolute focus on the one thing.
I agree.
So after Friday's meeting, so we're gonna try and dump this lady because allegedly somebody's looking at all her documents, which is to me pretty sinister. But so she's out. Powell is out of that job in February, but you know he has another year or two to run as a governor. So if he doesn't resign, he could still stay there. I bet he won't, because he looks to me like the guy. This is wearing on him pretty bad. I mean, he looks terrible. I'm sure he can't wait to get out of there when it's his time. But it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. But you know, there's reasons why these policies. There's pluses and minuses to them, because you can sure tell if you think hard enough who's the winner and who's the loser, and that's kind of dangerous, man, I think. And I'm not so sure that the winners constantly being the winners of the last 5 years is what the rest of the population wants. I mean, the inflation to the moon, all these other kinds of things going up, and I don't see a whole lot of the layoffs are coming. I talked to somebody last week, and Hyatt's laying off 150 people, for God's sake. I never thought I'd see that, but I mean, where's everybody going to go get a job? I mean, are there a lot of people hiring? And I don't see has anybody thought through, I mean, a lot of people that are, you know, very pro-administration, what do you think of the government taking pieces of these companies?
That's like, you know, quasi-nationalizing thing. I mean, there's precedent for it. I don't know if there's precedent for the policy of doing this across the board. I don't think there is. But it's in the, you know, it's a delicate situation, Tom. I think you've got, you know, the enormous places, you know, the Microsofts, the Apple, these are operate by their own rules. They, you know, they transcend international boundaries. They kind of dictate, you know, their terms pretty much, and they can get away with it. And it's not, you know, just those companies, but it's other companies elsewhere, you know, have their foot in other places. And the playing field is never level anymore. Ever, I mean, it's rigged, I think, heavily. So, does this require a government to, you know, take a piece of a business and dictate it, or take the whole business and dictate it? In desperate times, you have to have desperate solutions, I guess. So, are these desperate times? I think probably.
Well, one of your heroes, because you probably know who the guy is. Listened to him last week and said, anything the president says is an emergency is an emergency. I'm like, well, that's a little dangerous, but...
Well, they have the power to declare that. That's the
well,
thing.
But somebody...
Whether others agree that isn't an emergency at all is kind of beside the point. So,
I'm not so sure they have the power. Somebody's taking the power, but... I'm a firm believer in a competitive economy, and I obviously have spent my whole life trading and trading for other people. Do I think that, what does it say now if our entire stock market, bond market, our ability to raise capital, our banks, which are bigger than God, if a firm like Intel can't make their case, if they need capital, I don't know if they do, to the bond market, stock market, the banks, the private capital places, the idea of you go to the White House, you kiss somebody's ass, and they pay for you, and they invest, and who in hell actually has the power to disinvest? Who gets that dividend? I mean, all these kinds of things. That's a whole different world. Are we ready to go there? And how does somebody compete now with Intel and those people? I mean, if you and I wanted to be in the chip business, how the hell can we do that when somebody else is owned by the government? It's exactly like the Europe situation that I couldn't stand in 1991 when I was over there. The banks own the business, yet every company somehow between the banks and connections has their nose up ASL government, and there's no competition anywhere. There's no way anybody can break in. Is that the future we want, or does anybody even know what the hell I'm talking about when I say that?
Well, it looks to me like we've been in that situation for quite a while.
In some industries, you're right, but I want us to go the other way, not further.
Well, how are we going to do that?
Well, I mean,
I mean it. How? But once this becomes the, you know, this is the path for money, for protection, for, you know, exclusion, whatever you want to do against the competition, and you need government assistance to bring it off, and the other governments doing the same thing. So what possibility is there for reversing this without some kind of, you know, was this what the WTO was supposed to do? I don't know. I don't think it could have accomplished it. Maybe something like that, but I wouldn't want to see that either. You know? I think that would be the...
I mean, but do we think that our system that is pretty much designed on competitive stuff, where people being able to get into the market and do stuff on their own. I mean, take my industry. Do we really think that we want to lock everybody else out and have 8-10 people providing all the markets versus 2,000 or 3,000 people who used to do it? That's somebody's vision. I mean, it's not mine. I understand how it happened, and I know the gradualism of it, and I know all the people that the regulators like the idea that they don't have to deal with small firms and stuff, but You can either have a mindset where that's the way you want to go and make it go worse. You know, by the way, I'll control it when it goes. I mean, if U.S. Steel can make a case for being in the steel industry, I don't know that they need foreign capital or our capital to do it. If we do, why don't we just get rid of the stock market and the bond market on top of it? What's the point?
When the government got out of the anti, the antitrust, enforcement and was, what it was supposed to be doing, I think that was curtains for, competition generally. And the government has now become, a mover and a shaker, which is the role they seem to prefer. And the people in Congress are on board with it. And,
if they could trade ahead of it, yeah.
Yeah, but Congress is full of people who are there pretty much because they've got the backing of industries or particular corporations or combines or cartels, whatever. And the government has decided, by the government, I don't mean anybody ever really voted on any of this, but clearly by getting out of the antitrust division, end of it, it naturally opened the floodgates to the government being, down and dirty player. So, and taking sides and screwing others in the process. And this is what we have now. Without any kind of antitrust enforcement, I don't see that ever changing. That's been like a philosophical change. That, how long has that been going on?
Well, Jen, there's a subtlety here that maybe if you haven't been sort of in it, it's hard to see. On one level, again, how many times we talk now these days about, the Spock and Kirk chessboard, how many different levels are on. In our industry, for instance, I really didn't care if companies got bigger. or if one bought another or they did something. I don't see that as a big problem necessarily, unless they're so big that they. But because to me, it's always been, can anybody else get in the industry? Like when we started in 1991, PTI, all you had to do was, well, the intelligent way to do it, which wasn't the way we did it. The intelligent way, if you wanted to form a brokerage firm, you know, three or four guys from another place, could be Merrill Lynch, could be anybody. Hey, look, we want to form our own firm. You know, we have some clients. Maybe they're their own clients. I don't know how those places work. They fill out an application. I think the application was like $10,000. As long as somebody had a 27 and then a 24, you had two principals, two different people, and you had a few people with your Series 7s and your 3s and the 4s and all the different numbers that I have, 56, 65, you name them. You formed a firm. It was easy as hell to do. We actually were on the trading floor. We're doing a lot of option education. And said, okay, and the people we're teaching didn't have a firm to go through, know anything about options. So we said, okay, maybe if we start a firm, plus it's kind of handwriting was on the wall for the trading floor, but we were able to take our tests. We were sponsored by the CBOE, which of course stopped doing that. And so we actually opened up a firm without one customer. But I was still trading and basically funding the place until we got some customers. We're doing seminars and stuff. As long as there's no barriers to entry, I'm sort of okay with it. You know, I didn't really care if two other firms joined when everybody else could join could create a new firm tomorrow. But that's the thing that I think is the problem. When Lou sent out the list of in the last 40 years how many combinations there's been in the munitions or military supply industry, whatever you want to call it. That's one thing. But if you and I have an idea of a new laser gun or you name it, I mean, Lou's always got a bunch of different things. If you and I have an idea of that, and all of a sudden we can't go to the capital markets because they don't want us or they're prevented from giving us a loan or something, and all of a sudden after 6 months we have to sell out for 3 cents on the buck to Boeing or someplace, once you get to that stage, I think it's really not healthy. I mean, and I think that's where we're going here. I mean, I know the investment in some of these places, but the idea that Intel is going to get a chunk from government, or if you and I design a chip, we got to pay 30% on our credit card. Now we're entering a whole different world, don't you think? And I think we're there.
The patenting process has been politicized and corrupted for how many decades?
Since it started.
But this is if you think about startups, if you've got a technology and it's better than somebody else's and you can't patent it, or you got somebody fighting it or somebody stealing it from you, you name it, that's a clear barrier. But this is what the government actually is involved in doing first and foremost, as I see it. And it's not just in pharmaceuticals where it's more rampant, to prevent any kind of honest experimentation or competition, but it's in everything now, and it's such an arcane corner of the law, and most people don't understand it, but it's key to keeping people out of your business or completely ruining them, and destroying whatever investment they were able to cobble together, and making sure they'll never have a product that anybody will want to invest in. So this is like, how rigged can you get? But this is, again, nothing new. This is institutional.
Well, but the fact that it's nothing new doesn't mean we have a couple of our guys that
we've gotten comfortable with it.
But let's say we have a couple of our guys that are retired and act like they got a lobotomy or something. But regarding this sports stuff, this NIL, when all of a sudden everybody is a major league essentially sponsored football team from these colleges, all tax free, which is even more bizarre. And if you write anything out to our group of goofballs from Notre Dame, goofballs I say affectionately, one of them will always write back and say, "What do you mean? They paid somebody $40 back in 1920. It's the same." Ken, it's not the same. It absolutely is not the same. At some level, it reaches a point where it's not the same, and I think we're sort of there. But I think your population needs to be entrepreneurial. Your young people have to feel like if they come up with something or work for the right firm, it's going the right place. You can't have this stuff where everybody can't go anywhere because you're bumping into anybody. There's two people, you know, in history, well, there's more than two, but two people I know of that I actually, when I say I work with a guy, I didn't work with him. We didn't get any money for him. We don't do that. But a lot of my investors came in with this stock at some guy in Toronto. So I actually got in my truck and I drove up to Toronto to meet the guy. Nice guy. Very inventive. You know, he had investors, and you know, if I would have helped him out, maybe he'd have done better. But he had a gazillion shares out there, like a, you know, 1/100 of a cent a share, and all this kind of crap. And some people, you know, had him in the firm. And the guy, for those of you who ever, somebody ever thought you had a heart attack, first thing you do when you go in the hospital is they take your blood, and if you have a heart attack, there's an enzyme that they can pick up in your blood that shows your heart has had damage to it. I'm not a doctor, but the minute they don't see that enzyme, they say you didn't have a heart attack. Right, Jen?
Yeah.
And there's a machine in every hospital, and I think it's about an hour turnaround, hour and a half, something like that? Well, this guy invented a machine that basically sat on was about the same size as a laptop computer that you could have put in every ambulance. You could have put it, and it wasn't very expensive, where you could essentially draw blood out of the finger and you'd get this response in like a minute and a half. And he had investors. It sounded like the right thing. He couldn't get anywhere. No matter what they did, they always needed another test. Then there was a test at a hospital. They were going to do it at Cleveland Clinic. Well, Cleveland Clinic wanted X, this kind of money to run the test for 4 months. And the amount, whatever the hurdle was, there was always another hurdle. Till finally, he ended up with a marketing thing with Merck, where Merck signed Merck gave him money, I think it was Merck, gave him money for an exclusive marketing deal. And of course, they buried it. They never marketed it. And the guy went out of business. And all of the stock that these people had other accounts with us, and this was just one little piece of their portfolio, we couldn't give that stock away. And this guy had a product that absolutely would have helped society. They absolutely buried it. Because, you know, the hospitals wouldn't let him in, Abbott Labs, all the people that did supply these hospitals, they wanted no part of it, and blah, blah, blah. And then the people with the machine that was in the hospital, they wouldn't cooperate, that every time they took a test, there'd be a second test to make sure they matched up. Whatever it was, the guy got nowhere. And I'm saying, once we reach that stage in every industry, we got real problems. Because all this guy, his investors, they had a good idea. They had everything going for him. A more recent example is one of my friends, trade on the trading floor. We did some stuff. He also had a big group of people he knows in Mexico, was down there forever. Anyway, he finds this guy who does a lot of inventions. And some of these people are really interesting, but one of his inventions, this is going to sound goofy, when people have the, if you ever had any surgery or watch it on TV, everybody's got all the, you know, the scalpels in their hands and all this other kind of stuff. Well, this guy invented essentially, for lack of a better term, a rag. Looks like a rag. You could drop it on the thigh of the person or stomach of the person you're operating on or whatever you're doing to them. The dentist, same thing. Well, when you took it was sterile, and you take the utensil and you could just put it on there and it would immediately grab. It wouldn't slide off onto the floor. So it would essentially adhere temporarily to both the hospital gown and the utensil. The thing's idiot-proof. Everybody who saw it said, yeah, I'd want one of those. They went nowhere at every hospital. Abbott Labs, everybody, I don't know. If you don't buy it through the regular suppliers, if it doesn't come through the regular suppliers, which may compete against somebody else, nobody wants a thing, even though everybody wants a thing. They sold it to some dentist offices and stuff, but everybody should have one of these things. It's idiot-proof. And by the way, you throw it in the steamer afterward, and it comes out, and you use it again. You don't even have to throw it out. I mean, and yet nobody, because it was an affront to somebody else's stuff, never got anywhere.
It was an attack on a monopoly basis.
Yeah, he's bumping up, but they're not even a monopoly. Nobody even has anything the same. But the distribution system is, I'll tell you, Stacks and Jacks. Perfect example. We were on, and actually we might be doing it again, but we were on a few stations that we had to pay for. Okay, whatever the term is that, and we went. I knew a couple of guys in the auto industry and those other kinds of things, and they said, "Yeah, we'll be happy to sponsor Stocks and Jacks. You know, if you have us on once a month talking about the auto industry or whatever," I'd say, "Fine." All of a sudden, they called back and they go, "No, we can't do it." "What do you mean we can't do it?" "Well, they have a marketing agent, and the marketing agent, they get 10 or 20% of whatever the thing is, so they want no part." Of if somebody's going to send $1,000 a month to Stocks and Jacks, they're not doing anything for $200. They want a part of that. So if the person has a $30,000 a month package, let's say, you know, Flanagan Oldsmobile, Flanagan Cadillac, the guy basically will tell you, "I'm quitting if you want to do your own marketing. I'll tell you where you ought to be, and we're not doing brokered stations." So all of a sudden, I lost 3-4 guys and never really got anybody. And the owners wanted to do it. "No, I can't do it. My guys won't let me do it." It's the same thing. It's not even a patent, John. It's just we want to control this. We don't want anybody else doing it. We want our 20%. And last thing we're going to do is make $200 from Stocks and Jacks. We don't even like these guys. It is stunning how all the way through the system that this is, I think, causing problems. And if the government now says, "Well, we're going to take 10% of the firms we're going to do business with for the next 20 years," I find that appalling. But I maybe other people don't. I mean, it just my background does.
Well, there's no place for innovation in a market that sees innovation as the enemy unless I was the innovator.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So I but that's also, it's the people lowest down on the food chain controlling, the most important and the most, the things you really want to encourage development of and experimentation with. And if this system can be replaced by something far more efficient and beneficial to the public, then by God, let's do it. I can't imagine any industry with its lobbyists and everything else committed to a particular product or a particular way of doing things is ever going to be, interested in hearing any of that. And lobbyists are not a small part of this, believe me. Because one of their main goals and their purposes for being is to make sure that nobody treads on your territory.
Well, John, maybe it is. And one day, I don't really have too many days, even though I joust with everybody here. I don't really have too many days where I get an awful lot of bad press, Stocks and Jacks. One day I did. When I say press, I got really horrible feedback. I said, knowing what it works, knowing what you were just talking about the lobbyists, if you're going to combat that, you have to have an organization that if somebody shoves $1,000 in a senator's left pocket, you shove $1,100 in the other pocket. Plus, you have to have the energy to get in front of their face. And I'll tell that story in a second. But you need a lot of the lobbying effort is not just everybody just says, "Oh, no, you just give these guys money." No, it's not. It's being there, saying, "Hey, you got this thing in this." Getting your dead ass out to Washington or wherever you have to go, and if somebody has a bill there that's going to take that is doesn't like old Irish guys Flanagan, you better have somebody that just walks into that center and say, "Hey, look what you got in this bill. First of all, do you even know it's there? By the way, it's going to hurt our group. Who the hell is it helping? Who got the money to put it in there? And by the way, we're willing to hire a lobbyist to get it the hell out of here." I mean, that unfortunately is the way of the world. And I said, well, if we really want to do this kind of stuff, since nobody likes unions anymore, I'm not talking about government unions, I'm talking about the other kind, and they used to do some of the heavy lifting for the middle class and don't anymore, we better come up with some dough. I got, I don't know how many emails. Matty Weber was pouring through them. He goes, "Chief, you really pissed everybody off. Why should I have to do that? Why should I have to come up with money when I voted for these guys? I dragged my dead ass down the block and I voted. He should know what I'm thinking. He should be working for me." Well, fine. Fine. You can go out and try and get a date without ever buying a drink, but guess what? You're probably not doing as well as somebody who's willing to pony up the first round, right? I mean, what can I tell you? This is the way the world is. They wanted
I would have to assume, Tom, that given the ethics or lack of ethics of many politicians, once a lobbyist thinks they have control over a politician, it's very likely that they have total control, because that means they know so much about the person that they're lobbying to, including all the dirt and all the extramarital affairs and God knows what other shady dealings, that they can control a politician, and not just their own industry or their own product or whatever. And that, you know, they can threaten somebody, you know, you keep accepting my money, even though somebody's trying to stuff $1,100 in your other pocket, I've got something that's, you know, more important to you than just money. And I mean, this is how disgusting it's become.
Well, I think we got a dash to break here, John. We should have Nancy in, but
when the Congress comes back and they be lobbyists, but you can't be, and
we've gotten to the point. By the way, I started the conversation by this, by being an ass and being jaundiced about this. A lot of lobbying is just education. I mean, in the CBOE, we used to have people in all the time, and we'd say to somebody, you realize that this rule you're putting through doesn't really help anybody. It really hurts us. A lot of times the guy would go, what are you talking about? And you know, you'd read it to him. A lot of it is just, one of the guys that I knew, he was a Ute. He married one of my buddy's older sisters. He was a lobbyist for Allstate. And I go, lobbyist? He goes, I go from office to office, and it'll be something in a bill. They don't even know what the effect is. It's my. He goes, I'm not bringing a bottle of scotch every place I go. Because I'm sitting there, I go, this is in this bill. By the way, this clause in here is going to hurt our industry, and it doesn't help anybody. Because they don't even know. It's 80% education, 20% purchasing, probably, if you do it right. I'm just saying, you know. Now, maybe it's going to more and more. I think the drug companies are more and more into the purchasing part, as I think you and I can agree on that. But, I mean, I don't think there's anybody who hasn't got a check from those guys, is there?
No. But beyond the revolving door, I was just saying, you know, where somebody comes out of, you know, Congress and goes back into industry as a lobbyist, they have all the dirt on their colleagues from when they sat in Congress, too. And they know just how to play them and or play against them. So this is the trouble with having, you know, not, you know, strict enforcement of people getting out of the lobbying industry once they've been at the center of power, because they know exactly how the strings are strung.
Well, that's what makes them effective. Right. S&P futures down 22, NASDAQ futures down 105. Heading to break, we'll be back with Nancy talking about some real estate. Jen, you owe us your commercial report this week. How bad is it, for God's sake? We'll be right back, Stocks and Jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of Home Source Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks radio show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate this summer, could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and a good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You can reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
How lucky can one guy be? Well, and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm talking about Matt Byrne on the board playing a little Dino.
That's right.
Has there ever been a more popular guy than that guy?
It's a real toss-up, I'd say, between him, Frank Sinatra, Elvis, you know, but Dean's certainly up there.
the Italian ladies like Dean a hell of a lot more than they like Frank.
Oh, I can bet it. Yeah.
And there's no question. As we futures down 20, as we futures down 95. Real quick, we buzz through here because there's not a whole lot going on this morning. DAX down 56.2%, FTSE up 12.1%, CAC around down 56.7%. Still trying to digest the Friday Fed speak and the huge rally. Nikkei up 174.4%, Hang Seng up 492%, Shanghai up 57.15%. And if you listen to CNBC or probably Fox News today, you'll hear all the bleeding about why aren't you investing in China? What a great place it is. And boy, oh boy. When you sleep with dogs, you wake up with fleas or something along those lines. Bonds up 3 basis points, 4.28. We got oil up 35 cents, but still only $64. We got gold down $3, but still over 3,400, 3,415, a nice rally. And everything was up Friday. Gold, silver, the whole world was up. Foreign exchange, U.S. dollars right about at 117 versus the euro and 135 against the pound, right in the mid-range of this where we are here. Crypto, which continues to take a little whack. 111.354 was 120 a couple weeks ago. Do we have Nance?
We do indeed, yeah.
Nance, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing all right. Missed you this weekend. How are you doing?
Good. Can't complain. You got up this morning, woke up on the right side of the bed.
You can't complain because nobody listen, or you can't complain because there's nothing to complain about?
Oh, no. Nobody listen.
God. Well, what's going
on? When you have a sheared rotator cuff, every day is challenging.
For those that don't, Nancy had some pretty nasty shoulder surgery, but she's on the mend. And when are you going to be 100% Nance? 6 weeks, 8 weeks?
They told me December. All right. Christmas.
Well, there you go.
That was shocking.
As long as it works out okay, and they're right, and everything's, and you're 100%,
yep.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
There you go. It's better not using any arm.
Good news is you don't have a stick shift.
This is true. Well, I can't drive anyways. I'm completely off driving. That's another thing.
For how long? Did you rent your car out?
No, I didn't. It's sitting in the garage, nice and safe.
Well, there you go. Well, we want you 100%. And we'll soon.
And today it's supposed to be 70, so I could sit outside.
We sat out at Kathy's the other night with the next door neighbors. We had a real nice time. Of course, it gets to be like 1 o'clock, and my God, was the last time I was out that late? But it was fun. Actually, needed a little something on. It was chilly.
Wow.
So there you go. And get a load of this. The people next door have the dog where they got that one of those fences. The
invisible fence. Yeah.
Well, they actually turned it off a while ago, but he still thinks it's there, so he won't come past. So for him to come on over, the guy to go pick the dog up and carry him over.
Oh, good Lord!
God. But sweet pooch. Anyway, good time was had by all, and we missed you. And we'll see you this weekend. Who knows? You ever going to see John? John never comes. You know, he doesn't matter what the weather is.
I know you would think John would have at least had some mercy on me and shown up by now.
In John's mind, every day is a blizzard.
Every day is a blizzard.
Every day is a good reason to stay in bed.
Oh, it might rain. Oh, God, it's too much sun. I might get sunburned. It's always an excuse.
Well, he's worried about the floods now. I think we're having climate change here, and we're going to go to, instead of blizzards, we're going to have ice storms.
Well, by the way, our buddy Carl has predicted, who knows if he's if he wants a job at the Farmer's Almanac, I don't know. But he claims that the weather we're seeing now is unusual for a very unusual reason.
Why is that?
You always hear that we're in La Nina or El Nino.
Yeah.
Well, and we're usually moving from one to the other.
Correct.
Right now we are exactly neutral, which is kind of very rare, where it's not showing any tendency to go one way or the other. It's just sitting there right in the middle. Right at the the average temperature, not too warm or too cool. And
well,
he claims it causes a lot of weather in terms of precipitation stuff, which we sort of had. And claims the last time it was like that was the 1979 winter where Jane Byrne tossed Blahnik out of office, where all it did was snow all winter. And if it stays like this, we maybe could expect another 1979. Which means we better all go to Arizona or someplace.
Oh, God. Well, the Farmer's Almanac's predicting a snowy, you know, winter at the Great Lakes. So
maybe we should get generators. And then John can really stay in the house.
Oh God, yeah.
I'm just going to buy a bicycle in the garage and power my house with that.
Oh God. So Nance, what's going on in the mortgage world? Are we going to get a little bit of a blip down in the mortgage where somebody can maybe move? Audrey said they were down in the low sixes last week. Is that true?
Yeah. You know what, guys? I think that things were well good in June, July. I think a lot of house buying went on, and I think. Remember, I said if it gets into September, it'll be good, but I think it's slowing down. I don't think we're where we used to be 2 months ago. I think it's slowing down, and it could just be because the kids are going back to school. This weekend was a beautiful weekend. People didn't want to be doing something, you know, different. They want to get in their last pieces of summer. I mean, it's hard to believe. Well, it is for me anyways. It's hard to believe that we're already in. This weekend is Labor Day. I mean, I don't even know where the summer went. So I'm thinking, you know, we could see another slowdown. This probably is coming. If it comes, it probably will come at a very good time. So because I feel like that rush sentiment is over. I just feel if you'd have put a house on the market, you know, beginning of July, it would have, you know, had offers on it immediately, and now you're starting to see people, not as many people looking, I guess is the way to do it, or a way to say it. But there were a lot in June and July.
Well, Audrey had an open house yesterday, and I don't think anybody showed, and it was pretty well advertised and everything else. But yes. It also, this has to be official take your kid to college weekend. It's all before Labor Day now, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. And a lot of kids go back a week early so they can get adjusted, find out, you know, how to get around on their bus schedule. It just depends where you're going. But it's traditional now. It's getting to be traditional that you can take them back like a week early. You know, they can go a week early so that they can get adjusted to whatever it is they're going to be, you know, the year.
My senior year, I went, I was an RA, which was bizarre, since they put me in charge of my buddies, which is like herding cats, but damn, it's another whole story. But we had to go back 3 days early for orientation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was Labor Day weekend. And this is 1974. Oh. No, actually,
and
19...
Did you go back for Labor Day weekend?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we started the day after Labor Day in those days. And everybody showed up probably Labor Day, and, you know, class started on Tuesday or Wednesday. So you went up that weekend, but I had to go down on a Friday, you know, which was fine. But there's nobody on campus but us. If you look in the annals of Chicago weather history, that Labor Day weekend in 1973 was, I think, the three or four hottest days in a row we've ever had in September. It was so friggin' hot. And the dorm was no air conditioning to save at all. It was brutal. I couldn't wait to get done with the orientation to get to a bar that had some air conditioning. Well, I don't think that was the whole idea of me being there for orientation for an RA, John, but it was my orientation. There's got to be a bar somewhere with an air conditioner, and that's where I went.
Did you guys have air conditioning back then in schools?
No, God, no.
No, I didn't think we did either. No, we didn't.
Well, I mean, but then again, you didn't start till after Labor Day. When we were out of there in the middle of May. So maybe you got a hot weekend. That's the only time I ever felt that it was all that hot, and it was before school even started. But it was like really hot. It was like 98, 99, and, you know, it got down to like 88 at night or something. It was brutal. And I'm in this little dorm room, not even a fan. I'm going, well, this is bad. But we've had hot stuff before. But anyway, it was not the best
weekend.
Did you
have air conditioning in your house back then?
We did. Not a lot of people did.
Yeah, not a lot of people did. I don't think we did.
Nance, tell me, is it true love? No air conditioning, not even a ceiling fan, and a double bed before it even had queen-size beds. Is that true love or what?
Oh, God. There is no way, Jose. I mean, when I think about what we didn't have, it was just amazing. I mean, like, we used to... my brothers used to sleep on cots in the basement just to stay cooler. And they had to leave for work at like, oh, maybe like by 5:30, quarter to 6.
Yeah.
You know, the factory started. They wanted them to start way before 7.
Well, so you actually got used to it. Earlier. And what do you think? The general population probably weighed 30% less.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, don't you think, guys?
Oh,
I
God,
do.
Yeah. God, yeah. I mean, you look at the old honeymooners, and you look at all the jokes about how fat Ralph Crampton would be. He wouldn't be looking fat at all today, would he?
Well, yeah. Now that you mention, that, I agree with you.
Well, where's this heading, Nance? We've got a claim that we're getting more houses being built. There's a bunch out in your area that have been developments that are moving along. I don't really see any new developments starting, but that doesn't mean there aren't any. It just means I don't see them. Where do you think that stability is? Then John's going to opine in on where the commercial stuff is.
To be honest, the new homes where people are building, they're all in the millions, Tom. 800, 900, million. You know, their base price might start at 6, 7, 8, but they get up over a million. There's only a specialty number, and a percentage, maybe what, 10% can afford that?
Yeah,
it's the average thing. So when they're talking about building, that's what they're building. I just don't see. I mean, yes, you might get some older couples that still have pensions left and all those things, you know, building it up, but I do not see that as the average way we're going. I see the younger kids not wanting the responsibility of owning a home. I mean, to them, it's just like, well, we'll just stay here and rent here, and then when this runs out, we'll go to the next place. I don't see that really coming on board full tilt. Now, it's going to be interesting, because if the National Guard actually comes to Chicago, you know, one of two things are going to happen. It's going to be a really good move for the city, and they can clean up whatever problem areas they have, or it's going to be the Wild West. I don't know which one's going to happen, but we'll see. Because some people are saying they don't even want to live in Chicago. They don't feel safe.
Well, I mean, it's a question of which way you look, I don't think there's any. You know, I'm accused by some of my right wingers of not being in the middle. There's no question that some of your police forces need some help. In terms of some of the cities are kind of broke, some of the police forces are down people. Maybe they let them retire too soon. Maybe the pensions too. There's a lot of issues in my mind that could be resolved. And could there be a whole bunch of federal help in terms of forensic training, those kinds of things to help people solve crimes? And maybe somebody, instead of retiring at 52 or 55 and getting a pension, they'd be retrained into doing lab work, and we actually can catch some people and things like that. Is there an awful lot of room for improvement? Absolutely. But we have an egomaniac that is going to throw people in there. The last thing you want is a National Guard person patrolling the streets with zero training and armed. I mean, that's they're not a policeman. It's a different job. It's not. And if you get some help for a while in certain areas where they're good at, could they, you know, patrol sporting events if you were too short policemen to have send them in the neighborhoods? There's a lot of ways to do this, but none of that's happened. There's no thought process to it. It's all some egomaniacal thing. It's you know, on the one hand, Trump says the city is dangerous. The city says, well, we had 900 murders and we're down to 750. We're making progress. Leave us alone. Well, that's ignorant, too. 750 is too many, or whatever the number is. So neither side seems to have any ability to make this all happen. And that's the part that I'm always railing against. I mean, could there be some support? Could there be some solution that could help out by the federal level? The answer is probably yes, but are we going to get there? I don't see that happening. Do you? I mean, what do you think, Jen?
I think, you know, that we're in a climate now where even if you call the police and the police come and there's an assault, you know, or a battery going on or a domestic threat or whatever, that never it's not guaranteed to end up in the crime statistics at all. If there's no arrest made, and no party is thought to be at fault, even if there's an injury or gun fired or something else, that doesn't end up as a statistic, period. And so the whole discussion about crime rates being down and homicides down, it's still intolerable, but I don't think it tells half the story either. I think that there's far more crime than the statistics indicate. And the perception, certainly, they can say all they want about the statistics, but the statistics do not convince people not to go out at night or to go out at night. It's what they see. It's what they hear from their friends and relatives. It's what they see on the news.
The news exaggerates. But I think that, John, I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm gonna agree with you in the sense that this is, Vance, kick me if I go too far here, but a lot of people, if there's 48 murders in a 4 square mile area in the middle of the night that you're never going to go, I guess you care, but you really don't care. And you care enough because nobody wants to see people get hurt, but it's not enough to, you don't see it as your problem. But if all of a sudden, if there's 20 murders instead of 2,000, but the 20 happen in the middle of the day on an expressway that you're liably driving on, all of a sudden, even though the numbers are down, your fear is up. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Well, the expressway, I think, is a good point, no matter what. I mean, I know, I've always wanted to see Venetian Night, and there's an opportunity for a bunch of us to get together and go, and then someone said to me, well, who would want to drive on the Ryan? Because
I drive on it all the time.
I drive the Ryan. I mean, when I could drive, I mean, I drove it all the time, okay? But we all know the girl that was killed coming home from the Sox game. Personally, went to school with her and everything, so
she was a wife of one of my buddies from Notre Dame.
Right, correct.
Yeah.
She went to Macaulay, so
she's a special ed teacher in Evergreen Park.
Yeah, so, I mean, we were like, wow, this is just not a good thing, right? I mean, we started talking about that, and then the next thing you know, we're not going because somebody said, well, do you really want to be on the Ryan? So if we could get rid of if they could, correct or make people feel safer, I think that would help. Look at the Bears are going to go, supposedly they're going to go to Arlington Heights. It just seems to me like, I don't know what Trump's goal is, but
well,
like you're saying, to bring in the forensics, that's great. To help his sporting events, that's great.
Well, I'm just saying, but what I'm trying to get to, Nance, is, and you guys tell me where the middle is. If what Trump's doing, I would say, is stone cold ignorant the way he's doing it. Okay. Yet when Jay Pritzker comes up and says, now John's going to accuse me of never being in the middle. When Jay Pritzker comes up and says, we don't have a problem, I'm going to say, Jay, we got one hell of a problem. I probably have driven, Watt and I had to go to some parties the last few weeks. I'm going to say, Nance and John, I've done 600-700 miles on the expressway. The carnage that I've seen without any squad car anywhere is, I mean, who makes that decision that people can ride the shoulders at 90 miles an hour when they're backed up, that on the Ryan you're going to get 5 or 6 people blow by you in cars with all blacked out witnesses that are noisy as hell and are going 130 miles an hour, 110. Who decides we're not going to police at all? It's all okay. Now, if you go on the Northwest Highway, or what is that now? What is it? The Jane Byrne, not the Jane Byrne, the Jane Addams, whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, 90.
You'll see the ups of the world and their Porsches going by you at 120. Nobody pulls them over either. So it's not like it's all black or Hispanic or there isn't anybody that does anything. Now who makes that call, Jay? You can bitch at Trump all you want about saying that there's carnage here, but there's nobody there. I drive home every night from here, and the traffic here is horrendous. I never see a Chicago squad car. People flying through stop signs. People stopping for a pedestrian, people swinging on the shoulder to get around and almost whacking the people. I've never seen a person on a scooter stop for a stop sign. Well, who decides we're not going to do any of that? And then we're going to bitch at Trump for saying the place is a mess. I mean, to me, both sides are, I don't know where to go there. I mean, what do you do if you're just a regular citizen saying somebody ought to do something, but who's the somebody?
Well, isn't the Ryan patrolled by the state?
maybe only Jan or maybe Jimmy. You know what the deal was there?
No. Now,
for those who don't know, Chicago has they're the only city in the country because of our unique geography, where the through expressway system goes through the city, so it has through traffic and local traffic. Any other city, I mean, if you go to Cleveland, I-80 goes south to Cleveland. That's where you're supposed to stay if you're not going into Cleveland. If you go, then there's an expressway that goes into Cleveland. All this is together, and so since they're in the city limits, one would think, Lucy, that they would be patrolled by the Chicago police, and they are not. So you might ask yourself, which Nancy just did, self, why aren't they? You know what the deal was? I ask one more time.
I don't know.
The deal was, in return for putting, was it lottery stations, to sell the state's lottery in the two Chicago airports, that the state would make so much money that they would take over the expressway patrolling. Can you even imagine that? How stupid of a deal that is?
The one expressway, I don't mind the Ryan. I don't like 80. That's
another whole mess because everybody's going a zillion miles an hour.
Right. I mean, and no one secures anything on their truck. I mean, if, you know, a little log falls off, well, okay, it falls off. I mean, you know, it's okay. Tarp, can't see out your window, that's okay. You're correct. I never see anybody patrol. The only place I've seen it is on the tollway.
The only place you get pinched, how's that for a Southside term? The only way you get pinched by a Chicago policeman on a Chicago expressway is on the Skyway, right, John?
Yeah.
Because that's still Chicago patrol.
I've never even been on the Skyway.
And it's relatively lightly traveled compared to the other.
Well, that's because the toll is $7.
Right. Well, isn't it interesting, or isn't it incredibly stupid that they have the technology for pay by plate on the toll roads, so that, you know, in a flash, a camera records your license plate and you get the toll deducted, or you pay it later online, whatever. And they don't use that technology for speeding.
It's so bizarre, Jen. How could you not, when you have the camera systems on there? You know, Chicago, I think, has more cameras than any other city in the world, but London. Isn't that true? Yet nobody, you can never catch anybody. Of course, the perpetrators all wear masks and a hoodie, so I get that part. Kind of hard to identify somebody, but I mean,
you wouldn't need a toll for the, you know, the tollway if you could collect the speeding tickets that are incurred every minute. So, but, you know, which the tolls are a deterrent to driving maybe on that road period, but the speeding tickets would be a deterrent to speeding. And I just, if you really wanted to fix this, the technology has been there for a while, and I don't see any discussion about extending it to, you know, make it so that you get, you know, 10 speeding tickets if you're driving those things every day, and eventually they can boot your car or arrest you or whatever else. I would say that's something to at least try. You don't have to put any boots on the ground or anything else.
I'm not big on not facing your accuser, but I think I could cut half the budget in the city by putting a camera in the post office over here, right outside our window.
Oh,
and every little obnoxious car, put a sound thing there that's way too loud, that goes flying up the hill. And by the time they get to the post office, they're 100 miles an hour, and oh, by the way, they got the blacked out windows. I'd say $1,500 a car. I'd have five of them by the end of the show.
I thought the blacked out cars were ticketable.
Nance, we don't do any of that stuff. You know what the simplest thing? Talk about dumbed down. When we were in college, John, this is a long time ago, right? Before they had the traffic cameras, before they had anything else. If you picked up your ticket on the Indiana Toll Road, say it, you know, right past the Skyway, you pick up your ticket. Well, now there's a regular toll, and I think is there even a ticket anymore? I don't know. Whatever you do something down by Portage. So, Nance, you picked up your ticket. Now it's, what is it, John, 138 miles to Fort Wayne, the other side? No, it's more than that. What is it, like 160? Whatever it is. speed limit 70. Now, if you've got a second grade education, if the ticket on this end says noon, and it's 70 miles an hour, say it's 140 miles, guess what? It should take you 2 hours to get to the other end. Well, if you got there in like an hour and 10 minutes, either you jumped on the back of the Enterprise or you got beamed over there or you sped, right?
It's a prima facie case. You either forged the ticket or you sped.
So how long did that last, Jan? They did that for like 6 months when we were like graduating.
Yeah,
and the hue and cry was so few, they stopped doing it. You don't need a radar for that, do you? Gee, it's 140 miles, 70 miles an hour to limit. You're here in 38 minutes. I guess you went a little too fast, or you hopped on a plane somewhere along the way. I mean, how difficult is this if you really want to do it?
Well, maybe if the guard comes into Chicago, and I don't know whose guard it's going to be, but if they put a Humvee every mile or so on the Ryan, it might have an effect. I don't know. But once the Humvee goes away, it's going to go back to business as usual. So.
That's true. Once they go away, it's going to go back.
So what kind of person are there's two kinds of people that drive the Ryan, and I'm not saying it's ethnic or whatever. If you actually do see somebody pulled over, which is hard to find, you either find there's one kind of person in the world that says, gee, maybe the police are out today, I'll pay attention to the speed limit. The other kind of person says, I know there's only one cop out here, and he's occupied. Now I can really go faster. Right? Am I right? Which kind of person would you like hanging around with? Just saying.
Oh, my God. You can tell we're all from Chicago. We know how it works.
God, are we so jaded or what?
Yeah, I mean, we all know.
Nance, are you a buyer or seller of the Toll Brothers No Kinds of Paces these days, or neutral?
Say that again?
The home construction companies. Are you a buyer or seller, or are you neutral?
Home construction companies?
Yeah. Toll Brothers, those kinds of people that build homes.
Okay. What about
them? Do you want to buy their stock, sell their stock? Don't care.
Oh, I don't care.
John, what do you think?
I don't want to buy any stock from them. No.
All right.
I think some of this stuff has to play out.
I do too. John, what do you think? What about commercial stuff?
A luxury home builder like Toll Brothers or some others are always going to be a good investment and probably better as time goes on, but because there aren't really any just home construction for the average, you know, Joe or Jane has just, I think, evaporated.
That's, I mean, unless they start building homes that are, you know, I don't want to use the word track homes, but I mean, we could make them a little bit different, but unless people... They can make them. How do you make an affordable home?
No,
you're lucky to make it. Lucky to make an affordable bathroom, for God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, I just don't know how that all works. I mean,
you missed my story of my $86, three bags of screws and some little plates on Saturday.
You paid $86 for that?
Yeah.
Oh my God. This is what I'm saying.
Well, get a load of this. The things are a buck a throw, these little straps. So I go online, and of course, there's 70 cents a throw. I buy 25 of them, they went $20 to deliver them. So, okay, I'm right back where I started from. I might as well get them at Home Depot. So I get them there, and I got two things of screws, one thing of nails, and the number two things you put on the drill to put them in there, and it was $86.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, how many people, Nance, are building their million-dollar home, and when they move in there, they find out it actually costs them $1.5 million?
Yeah.
I gotta say, I saw a home that I thought was just absolutely beautiful. I mean, really, you couldn't have wanted it anymore. It was just gorgeous, and it was, you know, it's for sale. And everybody walks in and says, well, you know, it's not really a big deal. It isn't, I mean... I can buy this. You know what I mean? I can build my own if I want this. Everybody is just so picky that, and they have the right to be if you have the money to do it. But the average Joe, okay, who just wants a place to live, wants peace, it's very difficult to find an average home right now. An affordable starter home for people.
There's nothing in the Odd says there's nothing in the 375 to 4.25 range anywhere, 350 to 4.25.
Remember when Brandon Johnson unveiled the latest version of affordable housing the city of
built?
And it was, each unit was $800,000 to build. So if they're trying to market that to somebody at $150,000, guess who's taking the bath on it?
Yeah. So the remember the phone call? Did you guys ever? We got a dash here. Do you ever remember the phone call from the guy who called the car dealership in London? The guy bought the Rolls Royce and his door wouldn't work, and he couldn't get in his door. And he says, "You got to come out here and tow the car." And the guy says, "Well, can't you get in the like other door and slide over and drive it in?" Don't you think, Lawrence, for $350,000, I should be able to get my own door? There's a little too many swear words in there, but it's the funniest phone call ever. The anyway, I'll find it and send it to you guys. Nance,
that's
feel
hilarious.
Better? Oh, Nance, give us a shameless plug.
Oh, my name is Nancy Long Graham. I can be reached at 708-341-9601. 708-341-9601. That would be great.
Yeah. You know, maybe you should do is put your... One of my attorney buddies from the Tripoli now has an ad up on the... They got a closed-circuit TV thing in there. So I was giving him no one to grief Wednesday night. Guy's name's Art Murphy. Real nice guy. He does real estate attorney stuff and other stuff. And he's got this thing in there, and he's all dressed up in the suit and tie, and he's all... You know, he looks great. And he says... I said, Art, how you doing on the ad here? And he goes, well, I haven't gotten too much yet. I said, well, you're probably not going to. He says, well, how come? I said, well, there's some people in here last week, and they're sitting next to me, and I said, look at that guy. And he goes, he looks so good, I'm almost willing to buy a house just so he can be my closing attorney, but I've never seen anybody in here in a suit and tie, and it looks like that. I go, yes, got to start coming in here in a suit and tie, all dressed up. And he goes, well, I don't want to do that. Nobody knows it's you. Anyway, it was always fun to give him grief. It's always fun to give Irish people grief, isn't it, Jen?
We're good sports about it.
Nance, I hope I will see everybody this weekend. SP Futures down 17. Nance, if you're down 85. We're down a little bit, but like I say, not as, near as much as... John, I forgot to ask you, any hope for the commercial thing downtown? Are you a buyer yet?
No, I got a list of white elephants that nobody wants to buy, Tom, and they're going to be given away, and I don't know what's going to happen to them after that, but whatever happens isn't good for the city, for us.
No, is it... Let me know when there's a bottom there. Maybe we can get some people and buy one of them.
Yep.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow, Stocks and Jocks. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, bye.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. JetBlue Airways. It's not the only way to fly, but it should be. Visit jetblue.com. Empower HR, your human resources partner. That's empowerhr.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. BDL Compliance Consulting. Visit bdlcc.com. DAX Research. Listen to David Andelman on Mondays and Thursdays and go to dacsresearch.net.
Time to time, everyone goes bust. You'll be back in the game before you know it.